House Labor and Commerce is now in session. Those members present, Representative Greenstead, Calvin Ullman, and Chairman Furness. The legislation for consideration today is House Bill 211, an act related to contracts for architectural engineering and land survey services and providing for an effective date. Gentlemen, we have before us a committee substitute. The chair would accept a motion to accept the committee substitute. Representative Greenstead.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I would move and ask unanimous consent that we adopt CS for HB 211.
Any discussion?
Just point out that we clarified that the only change in this basically is the clarification
$25,000 amounts that were exempt.
The way the draft is done is, Representative Cowdery, is the first section here, he makes reference to 3698.010 and excludes item 3. Item 3 has to do with the competitive bid.
Yeah.
But the other two, 1 and 2, are included. Okay. Additional discussion? Representative Ullman?
No more discussion. I'll move to.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I move and ask unanimous consent that we pass committee substitute for House Bill 211.
You did ask the unanimous consent.
Yes,
I'm hearing two of this one. Are there any objection? Hearing none, so be it. Okay. Are there any other matters to come before the committee this morning?
Well, that's the way you do it.
No, we stand adjourned until tomorrow morning. The meeting of House Labor and Commerce is now in session. Today is 4/12/83. Present time is 8:46. Both members present are Representative Winty, Greenstead, Ullman, and Chairman Furness. The legislation for consideration today is House Bill 14, an act relating to processing the permits by state agencies and the administration of Alaska Coastal Management Program. Make sure that that's right. I will note that we have the original bill introduced 11783 and our sponsor substitute introduced 41183. I would propose to I'd ask for a motion to accept the sponsor substitute at this time. We will hear testimony on that.
Do we have to do that?
We give the sponsor the latitude of updating this bill.
I move and ask unanimous consent that we take up the sponsor substitute for House Bill 14.
Are there any objections? Let the record show that Representative Cowdery is present. For those wish to testify and those persons present this morning, unfortunately because of several other commitments, one at 9:30 with the governor for a number of members of the committee, we will be concluding testimony at about 9:20 to 9:25. We propose to take testimony only this morning, and as I've just indicated, we will be taking testimony on the sponsor substitute. I read both bills and there are some changes. How substantive those changes are at this point, I really can't tell you. I had a chance last night to review the two. Why don't we go ahead? I understand the sponsor, Representative Martin, is on his way down, but I propose to go ahead and open up the hearing at this time. The first person to be heard is John Tinglehaus?
Tillinghast.
State your name, spell the last name, and who you represent.
Chairman, the name's John Tillinghast, and the last name is spelled T-I-L-L-I-N-G-H-A-S-T. I'm an attorney with the firm of Birch, Horton, Bittner, Festinger, and Anderson. I'm representing Sea Alaska Corporation. Sea Alaska Corporation has a major stake in what this committee does with HB 14. By the time that it receives all of its land entitlements under the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, that titled vicinity of 330,000 acres of forest lands in southeast Alaska, upon which we estimate that there'll be between 5 and 7 billion board feet of timber, which will be privately owned by the corporation. But to get to that land, we have to cross tidelands, which involves authorizations from every resource agency that's touched by this bill. Department of Fish and Game, Department of Environmental Conservation, DNR, and the Division of Policy Development and Planning, or OMB if you'd rather. Sea Alaska's position on permit reform legislation over the past 4 years has been a supportive one. Corporations worked actively with the Hammond administration in their efforts and has also supported comprehensive permit reform legislation. And at the same time, they've been rather frustrated over the past 4 years as they've watched permit reform bills come very close and then fail. The bill that you have before you, HB 14, is essentially last year's SB 84, which died in House Finance Committee, its last committee of residence before adjournment. The year before that, a substantially identical bill got to the floor on the last day of the session. Some legislators in the House were concerned about it, a sufficient number to prevent it from being advanced to third reading, and so it died. The year before that, an essentially identical bill on the day of adjournment died in House Rules Committee because it had the misfortune of being a hostage for a bill in the Senate, which the Senate would not release. So this is year four. Welcome to the fight. Because of Sea Alaska's concerns over whether a comprehensive permit reform bill was going to pass even this year, the corporation decided to prepare a bill of its own, which is not in conflict with the bill that you have before it, but is more modest and addresses a couple of problems which are not in the bill. That bill has been offered to Senator Fahrenkamp and Senate Resources for her consideration. I also gave the chairman a copy of the bill yesterday. Mr. Chairman, were you able to distribute copies? I've got lots of extras here I can just pass around.
The letter was...
There are...
But you have copies.
I have more than enough copies. Pass them around. Let me just explain real briefly what the bill does. It does four things. Yeah. Responsive to three particular problems which Sea Alaska, and I believe Alaska industry as a whole, is going to continue to face with the Alaska Coastal Management Program. The first is what we call the foot-in-the-door problem. When the Coastal Management Act passed in 1977, it was the intent of the legislature that the Coastal Policy Council would develop certain standards to govern development in the coastal area, and they would be applied by state agencies under their existing permit authorities. The legislature didn't want agencies to have any broader permit jurisdiction than they had before the act was passed. This past February, Judge Carpinetti, Superior Court judge here in Juneau, construed the act in a way that greatly expands the jurisdiction of all the state resource agencies. The logic is essentially this. The case involved the log transfer site, a dock which a Sea Alaska subsidiary needs to transfer equipment up to the logging site, which it owns in fee, and transfer logs back to the tidelands. The dock needed a permit from DEC. The upland logging activity did not. It was in private ownership. The court ruled that DEC could deny the permit even if the dock met the coastal management standards, if DEC decided that the upland logging activity didn't meet the coastal management standards. The DEC's jurisdiction was expanded to all activities which are facilitated by the activity needing a permit. The consequences in terms of expanding the agency jurisdiction, not just for logging, but for example, North Slope oil and gas activity, very significant. And one of the things the bill does, and it does it in section...
Your bill?
One of the things that our bill does, and I have extra copies of Judge Carpinetti's ruling, which I should pass around also. One of the things that our bill does on page 3, by inserting a new section 208 in the Coastal Management Act, 208A would simply say that nothing in the Coastal Management Act can be construed as authorizing DEC in our example to turn down a permit for a dock because of impacts which it's concerned about, upland activities that it doesn't require a permit for. There's a second change that would be created by 208B, and 208B speaks to extraterritorial planning by coastal resource districts, and let me briefly state the problem the Sea Alaska is facing in that regard. There are many small cities in Southeast Alaska that are preparing coastal management plans, as there are many small towns throughout the interior of Alaska. Preparing plans which not merely set up coastal management standards for the area within the city, but for the surrounding area, which is outside the city boundaries. There is some indication that state agencies will begin applying those standards to activities out there. Sea Alaska's position is that if a small town wishes to control land use activity outside its borders, it should expand its borders, rather than accomplishing, in essence, backdoor annexation through its coastal management plan, writing standards for areas which are outside its jurisdiction, and then trying to get state agencies to enforce them. The third change to the bill, or the third change with this bill would accomplish is back on page 2 in proposed AS 4640065. One of the functions of the Alaska Coastal Policy Council is to create areas which merit special attention. Those are areas which, in essence, development is either severely restricted or precluded. These areas may be designated either inside districts or outside districts, in other words, in the unorganized borough. Again, Sea Alaska believes that before large areas of private land are restricted or held in a no development zone outside the unorganized borough, that landowner consent should be required. That's the third change. That's what 065 would accomplish. These three changes that I've described are not in the sponsor substitute, but we believe they are both consistent with the intent of the sponsor substitute, and they conflict with none of the terms of the sponsor substitute. There is a fourth provision in our bill, which is proposed AS 4640205, which you'll find on page 2 beginning on line 14, which would create a lead agency for coastal management consistency determinations, just as the sponsor substitute will. But it would make that lead agency the Division of Policy Development and Planning, or perhaps in the future the Office of Budget and Management. The sponsor substitute would make the Department of Natural Resources the lead agency in many instances. There's a conflict here, and I had thought of about 10 different ways to try and weave around that until I saw the sponsor substitute, which appears to take care of our problem in a rational way. The sponsor substitute, if you've got your substitute there on page 4, lines 8 through 22, 635A, it talks about the Department of Natural Resources being the lead agency for resource development activities on state and federal lands. That probably makes sense, and it makes sense in the context that it was used, which is primarily for the oil industry. The oil industry operates under surface leases. DNR is already essentially their lead agency. Conversely, in Sea Alaska's case, they are not operating on state land. They're operating on their own land. And so the timber industry's preference for the office of the governor, we spend a lot of time as to why in some situations one agency makes sense and another doesn't. But assuming that the oil industry is rational in wanting DNR to be the lead agency on state land, and that the timber industry is rational in wanting the office of the governor to be the lead agency where you're operating on private lands and only need what I would call ancillary permits, access permits, this bill is somewhat Solomon-esque, the sponsor substitute. It makes both sides happy.
Let me interject here. So you're proposing here, now let's see, your section 4640205 would designate the
Division of Policy Development and Planning.
All right. and that would be in case of property on land. Now, in the timber holdings, are those private lands or are those lease lands from the state?
No, they're, in C. Alaska's case, they're privately owned lands. They're held in fee. So you've got a situation where the main activity is occurring on privately held fee simple lands. The only thing the applicant needs is ancillary or access permits.
One additional question along that, just to clear in my own mind. As I'm aware, in the Ketchikan area, for example, there's substantial timber harvesting there. Are those privately owned lands by the Native Corporation, or are those lands owned by the federal government vis-a-vis the state of Alaska or whatever?
You have two types of logging activities going on. You have the native cutting, and for example, Sea Alaska currently accounts for about 25% of the commercial timber harvest in the state, so a lot of it is Sea Alaska activity. You also have logging going on by primarily two major private logging operations, Alaska Lumber Pulp Company and Louisiana Pacific Ketchikan, who lease lands from the federal government under long-term timber contracts. The way this bill is written, for those people, DNR would be the lead agency. And I will let those two logging operations speak for themselves as to whether that fits their needs. This bill would not make DNR the lead agency for activities on privately owned timber lands, which is obviously fine with Sea Alaska.
Thank you.
In your proposal here, you're addressing 4640. In the sponsor substitute we're dealing with, we're addressing 4662. How do these two tie together? Is your bill intended to go as a substitute or a replacement for this, or is it tying together somehow? Or?
It would tie in by taking 065, which is on page 2, lines 4 through 12, and proposed section 208.
Which one are you looking
at? Okay, I'm looking at my bill. I'm sorry. By taking 4640065, page 2, lines 4 through 13, and section 208. That's page 3, lines 5 through 14, and inserting them as additional sections to the sponsor substitute. As far as the fact that it's true that the coastal management issues addressed in the sponsor substitute are resolved in Title 44. They're resolved in the Administrative Procedure Act. That has been done because that was the way it's been done for the past 4 years. Why this wasn't originally put in the Coastal Management Act, which is where much of the bill is focused on. It's also focused on permitting in general, but a lot of it's focused on coastal management. Why that wasn't done originally, I don't know. But I don't think that there's anything inherent about what's addressed in the sponsor substitute that would mean that it has to go in 44, and only changes to Title 44 could go in the bill. It was a decision of convenience, I think, more than anything else.
Additional questions, Representative
Greenstein? No,
let the record show that Representative Copeland is with us at this time. Ben Cowdery?
No. Hopefully after we realize that both
Additional comments?
No, other than thank the committee for its time.
One further question. Then basically, the content of the sponsor substitute you're satisfied with, but would recommend the inclusions of other portions into that.
That's correct. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, just been informed, thank you. I've just been informed that Representative Martin is meeting with the governor at this time, so he will not be down to provide any comments on the bill. We do have one additional person to be heard, Mr. Jay Nelson. Join us at this time, sir. Representative Copeland, what we're doing is taking the testimony of the bill. We do have a sponsor substitute. I did entertain a motion to accept a sponsor substitute in lieu of the original bill. I also know that, as I shared with you last night, there are changes between the original bill and the sponsor substitute. How substantive those changes are, I don't have any idea.
Right.
So.
Do we have a fiscal note, or is that one?
There is, let's see, that's right, we got one. It's a zero fiscal note. So you pass this around. Let me at this time recognize Mr. Jay Nelson for testimony. Sir, you have the floor.
My name is Jay Nelson. I represent the Alaska Environmental Lobby. This bill, or bill like it, has been up for the last 4 years. We have opposed this particular version, or at least the one that was up until today, more than any other particular version because of the many provisions in it. In fact, it was written last year at some point by the Alaska Oil and Gas Association. The thing to keep in mind with permits is that the whole point of a permit system is to protect a public resource, a scarce public resource, and the permits are put in place for a public purpose. And streamlining the permit process is something that I'm sure everyone can agree with, including ourselves. However, we're convinced that this bill, well, at least the bill that was up till today, and I believe this draft, would not only streamline but essentially gut the permitting procedures. There are apparently now two drafts or two different bills before this.
Did you get the
committee
the sponsor substitute, sir?
Just now, but I mean, I can't really comment on the specifics of it. The thing that was the driving force behind these bills originally were the oil companies, who are notably absent, or at least haven't signed up to testify. It seems to me that before you should be hearing a permit reform bill, you should hear some evidence that there's a need for reforming of the permit procedures. As I understand it, over the last 3 or 4 years, probably in response to these bills, the permitting procedures by the state have become streamlined administratively, not legislatively. It seems that the preferable way to streamline permitting is not through statutes, which fixes provisions in law, but to allow flexibility that the administration would be able to accommodate changing circumstances. And, well, I don't want to go into any specifics because I haven't seen the draft, but I would like a chance to address the committee at another time. I'd just like to say that the environmental community has been not opposed to streamlining or to reforming the permit procedure as necessary to allow adequate public notice, to allow oil companies or whoever is interested in getting the permit an adequate chance to know what they're doing in the process, so that they don't have to go to 10 different agencies to get 10 different permits and perhaps can work through one permit office. But we do not agree with the provision for lead agency of DNR.
So that's in this money.
Yeah, I noticed that there was change in this draft to DNR's lead agency.
Is it your concern that DNR is the lead agency? Is that the central tenor of your opposition?
That's one. That's very, very important.
Now,
point.
We also heard a recommendation from the previous person that testified that in cases of privately owned property, that the Division of Policy and Development and Planning be used as a lead agency. Do you also have opposition there?
No, we could agree with that. In fact,
what is it? What is the difference, sir?
The difference is that DNR is the most pro-development agency in government, and DNR's lead agency, if you look in the draft on the bottom of page 4, starting on line between 24 and 25, lead agency shall consider documented facts, data, opinion, conclusions, or recommended submitted by the commenting agency and the coastal resource districts with an approved coastal district management program within their areas of expertise, but may, in its discretion, reach contrary opinions, conclusions, or recommendations according to the weight of evidence received. And then, well, I'll skip the next line, but it says that no resource agency other than the lead agency has primary expertise in the balancing of competing factors. And I would argue that DNR cannot, in good faith, balance competing factors when you're involving DEC, ADF&G, and DNR in an issue, and yet the decision-making is in DNR. They cannot possibly be neutral in that. What's needed is a neutral facilitating group, and DPDP would be a logical place. One other point, and that is that in the coastal zone plan, that both state stipulations, state developments and federal developments have to be consistent with local coastal zone plans. And when you're getting into an area of state and federal relationships, it seems logical to place the decision-making power, the consistency determination, with the governor's office, not with one division.
Well, taken, you made a comment a minute ago that DNR is perhaps the most pro-development agency, territorialized in state government.
Sure.
You all know one of our members have done quite a bit of research on that, and I recognize him at this point. President John Cowdery, you did have your hand up to be recognized.
Yes, I was just interested in your comments why you opposed the bill, and you indicated it because it was an oil and gas industry bill. Is that true?
Because it was written by them, but that's not why
we're opposing it. Because it was their idea?
No, let's just say that I would suspect that they might oppose a bill that we had written on a subject that hit home so closely to them.
Well, I would assume that the opposition or for or against should be on the merits of the bill, and not who came up with the idea. I've talked with Esther Wanneke on several occasions about this very same situation, where even the agencies, whether it be DNR or any of the other ones, have some problems interpreting the regulations as they exist now. And I thought that it would seem to me that when we have development in, say, in the petroleum industry, it takes 10 years at least from the time of discovery to production, that almost everyone that I talked to thought that a couple of years could be taken off of this by the permit process of lead agencies of what we're trying to solve here, and could still do it with proper environmental respect and everything that we're all trying to gain. So I think that this would be a step forward rather than a step backward for a lead agency.
Taking 2 years off the permit time, I'd be very surprised. I think if you would need someone within the administration that had expertise in permitting, because I suspect that the permit times are longer, far longer, for federal permits than for state. In fact, state permits are getting fairly short, and I doubt if you could take much time off state permitting as it presently exists, unless you wanted to eliminate classes of permits. The idea of permits is to protect public interest, not to facilitate development. And in the sense that both Fish and Game and DEC have missions to protect certain public resources, and at the same time DNR has a role to develop certain resources, it seems that logical to be placing the decision making in a neutral ground, and not with either you could argue that you could place the permitting with DEC because their primary goal is to protect public interest, as easily as you could argue that it should be with DNR because their goal is to facilitate the development. Both are legitimate concerns, but our concern is that the development, it overrides the public permit process.
It seemed to me, if I may, Alaska public interest is of Alaska, in a way, even our Constitution, I mean, about development of our resources should be in the public interest, and I think that's what this is trying to address. So I haven't had a chance to review the sponsor substitute with the proposed changes. I was dealing with the original bill, so maybe we could have questions from some of the witnesses a little later.
It would be the intent of the chair. Again, you may know it on the calendar, we do have this bill up for consideration again tomorrow. Mm-hmm. The intent of the chair would be to take testimony from the prime sponsor, Representative Martin, to initiate a work session, a committee work session, to be able to look at the original bill, the sponsor substitute, look at the recommended language as provided by Silaska, and see how those all are positioned together there, and then come up with some type of a committee substitute that we will hold hearings or do whatever is necessary to finally address the issue.
I would hope that witnesses probably would
be sure.
They ready to the work session so we can get some clarification.
Right.
Thank you.
Mr. Nelson, do you have additional questions, comments?
Yeah, one comment, that is, I might suggest, I believe I commented already, that you might talk to people either who are required to obtain a lot of permits or who are issuing a lot of permits and find out if there indeed are problems and if they could be speeded up much.
Good. Thank you, Matt. Additional comments from Mr. Nelson? Great.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir, for your testimony. Are there other persons to be heard on this bill, HB 14? Are there comments from the committee at this time?
I would just, some research on the original, and I haven't really had time to sit here and analyze this. But I would hope that if even tomorrow, I mean, I think it's a very important bill that we should, if even tomorrow we might need another day scheduled to work on this.
Sure.
It's a pretty complex bill, I think.
I agree. I appreciate those comments, Representative Cowdery. Again, the intent of the chair is to conclude the meeting at this time, resume hearings tomorrow at quarter to nine. That the committee will spend some time in work session totally getting a better understanding of this legislation, the history of this legislation, the whole work, so in the time.
This fiscal notice from the Community and Regional Affairs, which is not one of the agencies impacted by this.
It's interesting, I didn't read it.
Yeah.
I just read it yesterday.
It would be either Environmental Conservation Department of Natural Resources or whoever.
Good observation. Again, I hadn't had a chance to read it. We just got a check on my last.
I note, we also received some information on the budget. I think it's DEC has taken a central permit management out and put it into regional, and we'll try to get that note, that budget item from the appropriate people.
Okay. Additional comments from the committee? If not, we stand adjourned until tomorrow, quarter to nine.